Good. Thanks, Brian.
Okay, Steve's getting it all queued up, then I'll go through the preparatory comments.
Mics are live.
All right. Good afternoon, everyone. This is Commissioner Brian Kalk. We're meeting in the 12th floor of the Capitol today. It is, here we go, test October 24th, approximately 1:30, for a work session on case number PU16539, Glacier Ridge Wind Farm. This is the first work session we've had since the hearing. It's my portfolio, and Commissioner Chair Julie Fedorchik's joining us by phone. Randy's right here. Julie, do you have any opening comments before I turn it over to Randy and we get rolling?
I don't.
Okay, thank you, Madam Chair. Commissioner Christman, any opening comments?
I do not have any opening comments.
Okay, well, I guess I'll just get rolling. We're also joined by our attorney, Zach Pelham, and staff guru, Julie Prescott, is joining us here today. I guess what I thought I just is make some opening comments, I guess, and then go from there. What I'd hope to accomplish, I guess, today is in the next hour or so is that maybe do a run-through of the late-filed exhibits we asked for and see what the status is on those. Then basically from there, see if there's any follow-up information that we need, and if we can move towards a decision today, that would be great. If we can't, because all the exhibits are not in the way we want them, that's fine too, then we'll go from there. So if that sounds okay with you, Julie and Randy, that's kind of the path I wanted to go down.
Sounds good.
Okay. Before we get to the late-filed exhibits, I did have one procedural question for our attorney that I wanted to ask. Now, looking through when someone makes a material change to a project, and I think you can define material a lot of different ways, but it talks about in our own order, our own law and rules, that you get to a certain point where they should file an amendment to their project. And I'm wondering, Zach, what you think, and maybe Julia Prescott too, about if the company has reached a point where they should be amending their original application, and if we should maybe even be having a new hearing in this thing, because when I look through at what the hearing was set up to be, I mean, going into the hearing, I most of my questions were about the reliability of the grid, what they were going to do with all their studies, and I think they really answered all those questions. But when it came out that there was a bunch of landowners that they had approval for in 2009 and they were not renewed, and when I look at the one late-filed exhibit that we get to, they're still non-participating that's now inside the project area. The studies talked about the full project area. I mean, do we need to go back and have a different hearing on what they want to build?
Commissioner, I don't believe so, no. I think what Exhibit 29, which is a late-filed exhibit, which is a map revision, we had requested them to, the company that is, to provide a map showing those facilities which are going to be facilities within the project area. The project area, as indicated on Exhibit 29, is much larger. You'll see the shaded portions. Now they have the green and they have some red shaded portions. Those green portions are indicated on the map as being areas in which there are facilities and they have easements, and those red areas indicate they are still working with landowners to get those easements that they had in place but expired by statute. As I understand in the testimony of the company is they are working with those individuals, and as I understand it, they are continuing to work with those individuals. So I don't believe that the project area map, Commissioner Kalk, has changed from what was noticed. It's been reduced per our requests, and what we've been doing in other cases is just simply seeking to approve a project area in which facilities are going to take place, or rather are going to be located.
Okay, so our previous practices, when we asked them to shrink things down in the hearing, as long as everything was noticed, you think that that's okay?
I believe it is, yes.
What about the question of they testified to 90% of something is what it, you know, and now with the project area being smaller, those numbers they testified on are different.
Right, and we did ask the company to provide recalculations for, I think, prime farmland, which they did. I think that's been included as late file exhibit 32. Also, I think we asked them to do the economic benefit calculation based on project area, which is exhibit 30, late file exhibit 31. So I think those areas we requested the company to do at the hearing, they have provided that information in the form of late filed exhibits.
Okay. The
just a minute. I have 30, and what number was the map?
The map is 29.
And 29. I don't have 31 or 32. One of those came to me, and I didn't realize they were for this work session and didn't bundle them up here.
I think Julie Prescott has some copies here, Commissioner.
So what were they were the new calculations on the land, prime farmland and
correct.
And that stuff, and what was the other one?
I believe the other one, Commissioner, had to do with the economic benefit calculation. I think that was revised, if I'm not mistaken. I'm saying that from memory. I think it was revised from the hearing and from the application, that is.
Well, maybe now would be a good time.
Oh, I did have 31. It was just 32 I was missing. I'm sorry.
31 is docket 68, docket entry 68.
Maybe do you just want to start at the top now, Zach, and
sure.
Go through the late file? Then I'll guess I'll bias my throw my bias out there earlier. As we go through the late file, I'll be frank with my colleagues that there was a lot, several of them that I thought were just very lacking. The one dealing with the lights particularly, Commissioner Fedorchuk asked a lot of detailed questions, good questions, and the response back was two sentences that it just didn't quite cut the mustard. So as we go through these, maybe I'll chime in as we do that. So.
All right. The first late file exhibit is Exhibit 28, which is docket number 67. That's the additional information we asked of the company to provide for their SCADA system that they're planning to have in place.
So as we go through these, Zach, do you want to give your legal review of them? Because I had my thoughts on their response on
sure.
That one particularly.
Well, I mean, it's general as to what it is that's going to be done as to the monitoring, which will be done from Broomfield, I assume Colorado, remotely, local representation on site. They did testify at the hearing that they would have, employees there, maintenance, et cetera, maintaining the and operations for those turbines. It describes generally what it is the SCADA system would do and what they envision. Some of the things maybe we might be interested in is is this monitored, presumably monitored all the time, 24/7. Some additional detail, perhaps, if the commissioners, if you wanted additional information, I suppose. But it is fairly general. We all are generally familiar with the SCADA system, what it is, and this is the information that was provided by the company.
Wasn't the point of the question, though, is that we're all generally familiar, but to get the details specific to this project on the record, and I guess that's what I thought of the same thing with you, about how many people, how many hours. So I did not think this late file exhibit answered the mail for me, but I'd be curious if my colleagues have any thoughts on that one.
I didn't get a lot out of this late file exhibit either. I don't remember who asked the question about what this system really does. It might have been me in response to some of the questions that one of the opponents had to the project in terms of the safety. So I don't know. It's pretty light.
Randy, do you have any thoughts?
I don't feel it provides a lot of information, but I'm not hung up on this.
Okay. Well, I think I'd like the company to take a better run at giving us the at least the, how many hours a day, what's their plan if, someone's not available, I know we're generally aware of it, but it's just an indicator of getting this stuff in the record.
Mm-hmm. I'll communicate with counsel for the company and work on getting a supplement to this and just additional information and specifics as to specifically what it is, how the operation works. Maybe if they have a flow chart on certain things, we've gotten those in the past on other cases.
All right, what's the next one, Zach?
Next one is Exhibit 29, which is, I think, Docket 70, is it? Docket 73 is the revised map, and we had mentioned that a bit earlier, Commissioner Culk, and it's been reduced by request, and as well it does indicate which areas in which the company does have current easements in place, and the red shaded areas indicate that those areas are pending for easement. The company does propose to do, I believe, 16 construction turbines in 2016, and those are kind of they're not red, they're more kind of pink. And they're indicated on the southern portion of the map. So those are the only turbine locations that they would plan, as I understand it, in year 2016 to do any work on. And as I understand from their testimony, they plan to dig foundations for those particular 16 turbine locations.
Well, Zach, this one I'm really dumbfounded with because. Well, I think I understand exactly what you just told me, but they want to build, I mean, they've got the northern part of the area where there's collector lines that looks like my read going through area that's not, they don't have easements for. You can't do that.
That was a question I had as well, Commissioner Culk.
That perplexed me as well.
I need to follow up on that, and I apologize. I have not had an opportunity.
Well, I don't know that, I appreciate you following up on it, but I'm sure the company is listening. This is ridiculous. So, either that's going to be in the project area or it's not. Mm-hmm. Do they want this project area reduced even further to where it's just those 16 turbines in the bottom? I mean, what do they want us to do? Because I'm certainly not going to act on something like this.
The company wants us to approve the project area as they have applied for, but they, as you heard the testimony, they want to apply for the production tax credit. They want to get it in 2016, and they're looking at a couple of years out before, full-blown construction of the rest of the project. And that's what the company has requested, and that's what's being presented. So, but I agree with the commissioner that the areas where the yellow collection line indicators are going across the shaded areas, it's not clear to me as to those being participating, non-participating. We need to firm that up with the company.
You know, and I don't know, I've never felt like what I've been seeking on limiting some of the excess property has been so tough to understand, but it seems like sometimes the companies do find it challenging. So when I look at this up in that, especially in that north area where they're excluding areas where they have collector lines, that wasn't necessarily what I meant.
Right.
And I will commend them to the extent like that, all that land way up north there, that's what I was talking about.
Right.
Especially. But, in this case, little things like the area in the kind of upper middle or down toward the kind of the lower half, kind of the middle right, some small blocks where there's still lines going across, I'm not so concerned about those being in. But then, and like I said, these are smaller ones now, so I'm not so shook up. Way at the bottom, especially on the right, but a little bit on the left, and then on the west side, kind of about a quarter of the way up, there's still some protrusions there where there's some pretty good-sized tracks that you wonder, or right in the middle of it on the right side, there's a section of land where there's a couple towers that turbines, it looks like maybe one, way up in the very northwest corner and they have the whole section in, a lot of that could be eliminated. And then they eliminate things where they're actually having lines run. So I appreciate that the biggest part of it is out, but I'm thinking in the coming days they might be able to make a few more fixes if they really want to be helpful.
Right. And I will have a discussion with the company on that.
But did they remove them because of what they thought Commissioner Crispin wanted, or did they just not have the easements? We don't know.
We don't know.
Well, I'll tell you, when I look at the, in the north half up there, you know, kind of in the center, there's that quarter of land that has connecting lines running every direction with a non-participant right in the middle of it. I mean, that kind of looks to me like a someone who's not allowing it. And then, of course, we see, probably close to 1,000 acres of red in here. To me, that's pretty concerning, you know, because this isn't like a power line or a pipeline that has eminent domain. If we were to approve this, I expect they're going to use that as leverage on those people then.
Well, I think certainly, Commissioner, as to the areas where they do not have an easement currently, our order would be ineffective as to those areas because it would be contingent upon the company having easements. They don't have easements, so legally they would not be able to build any facility on an area in which they do not have an easement on. So I don't disagree with you on that, but just maybe a clarification from what you've said. I mean, you're right. I mean, they if they don't have an easement, then it's questionable as to whether or not that is going to take place. But they are working on getting these easements. That's the area of the private contract aspect that the company is aware of and is working on. We're not involved in that process other than to say, look, this is a siting permit. You're approved as of this, but if you don't have an easement, then obviously any order would not apply to that any particular area that did not have an easement. You know that, though.
I do, but I do have concerns about getting to the point where, you know, we talked about, and the reason I couldn't find it, I was thinking of the tax revenues, and you referred to it as the public benefit sheet or whatever.
That's what the company referred to it as, right.
And to the extent the public looks at it that way, can you imagine then being those landowners that are still holding out at the end and the pressure they'd have? Well, we can't get this project going just because of you now, you know. And,
well, the interesting thing about it, too, Commissioner, the interesting thing about it, too, is a lot of these red areas, too, do have turbines located on them. So it is a little bit odd, I suppose, in that, you know, at one point they were just fine with this project, but what's the status of it now? And I don't necessarily think that we have a role in one way or the other, positive or negative, but we need to know. We just need to know one way or the other, I think, is for our purposes.
To extend that discussion, we had the county at one time had issued their conditional use permit on the previous easements, if you will, and the previous project, and there was some discussion at the hearing about what the county may or may not be doing. Do you have any updates from the county?
Thank you, Commissioner. That's a good point. You may recall, Commissioner's discussion at the hearing related to the conditional use permit that was issued by Barnes County, I believe in 2009, it may have been 2008, or much some time ago. And after the hearing, I became aware through communication with the company's counsel as to efforts to ensure that everything with the conditional use permit, the zoning issues that deals with zoning issues in the county were on the up and up, so to speak. I understand that recently as last week, I was informed by company's counsel that the Planning and Zoning Commission, or equivalent of it in Barnes County, had recommended approval of the conditional use permit. And I don't know, I can't sit here and say if it was an amendment to it or if it was a renewed or if it was a revised, what the exact language was for that process in Barnes County. But it was recommended approval. And the full commission, the county commission, the three members of the county commission in Barnes County are taking that up for vote on November 1st. So that is coming up fairly quickly. So we'll know in very short amount of time, I believe, the status, definitive status of the conditional use permit, as well as I believe there are some road variances that were up for discussion as well.
How do we correlate what the county approved for a project area in their conditional use permit, potentially approves, to what they're asking for us? Because I think I'd definitely like to see what the county has approved as we get to more deliberation about our decision.
I think, Commissioner Kalk, that's a good point, and I agree with you. I think we should have that, and that's something that I can talk to the company about, getting a copy of what it was that the county has approved, at least at the Planning and Zoning Commission level. And that's the first step in the zoning process, and then it gets on up to the full commission. But I will communicate with the company council to see what it is exactly that CUP, the conditional use permit, states, so we have full knowledge of what's happening at the county level.
Julie, do you have any thoughts about this particular exhibit that you might want added or changed or tweaked?
In that regard, on the county zoning?
On the county zoning or anything else?
Well, I shared the same concerns with you on the lighting. That was their statement on how they want to approach the lighting. I don't think it's sufficient, and I'm really looking for a commitment like we got from Brady Wind in terms of installing the lights that would be capable of accepting that technology on the front end and then getting that approval and kind of committing to a date certain. I don't see any reason to go backwards now that technology exists. I think we should be consistent across the state in terms of employing that technology, and if it's viable in a project in Dickinson, you know, it strikes me as it can't be that, you know, big of an economic hit that it can't be viable in a project in Valley City as well. So I'd like to follow, and I don't know how you and Randy feel about that, but I want to throw that out there that would be my strong desires, to just have similar language in our order that would have them implementing that by a certain date.
Well, I agree completely. You said it well. I don't think this is the time to move backwards on that. And the only thing I would add to what you said, it was not only deemed viable and acceptable to a project south of Dickinson. There were two projects south of Dickinson and one west of Mandan that
right.
found it.
Yeah.
Doable, so
thanks for mentioning that, Randy. So that would be the one thing. I'm looking at my notes.
Actually,
here.
Julie, I was just asking if you had any more for the exhibit on the map, and then we can move on to the
sorry.
Next one.
I'm sorry, Brian.
Oh, no, that's okay.
Let's see. On the map, you answered the biggest question. I wasn't sure what a construction turbine was, so that clarified in my mind, or, you know, for me, what those were, what the red circles were. There's a lot of land, you know, not participating homes within this project and really near it. But those folks, you know, only two people came and testified with concerns at the hearing. So I don't know exactly what to make of those, you know, those non-participating homeowners or landowners within the project. I thought this is a good map, just in terms of being able to see a whole bunch of things all at once. I agree on the issues on the easements that you guys previously stated, that we would be hesitant to approve a project without those easements, because it makes it almost look like we're forcing those landowners to do it. I think that it could be misinterpreted that way by the landowners. If we approve this project area, then, you know, the company can say the PSC has approved this, and it shows their turbines and collection lines on their land that they haven't provided an easement for yet. That's not the kind of message I want to send to landowners about our process. So I think that's important the company get that taken care of or take those components out of the project.
Okay.
And then as far as the land, you know, I think they've done a good job of squeezing it down and eliminating the land. I don't know how much of some of this, the excess areas that Randy pointed out, is used to ward off potentially competitive projects in the future, if that's what part of the goal is there, is to tie the land up so that it can't be used by a competitor, or if it's simply just trying to get these, you know, people who want to be part of the project included in the actual official project area, or if there's some other reason or a combination of those. So I think it's just best to get it as tight as we can.
Just one comment to what you said, Commissioner Fedorchak, as to it potentially tying up land. You remember the state statute allows for only a 5-year easement, so it at most, at worst, it would tie it up for that period of time, and after that, there would not be any easement, private easement, that would be effective in these areas that don't have turbine locations on them, arguably.
True enough, but this is, right now, is sort of the, I don't know, what do you want to call it, Black Friday of wind development. This
sure.
is when they're doing it, and they're doing it in large scales because of these attractive tax incentives. Nobody knows how long those are going to last, so 5 years could be it for some of those folks. It could make the difference between having it and having a project or not. Not that I think wind development is going to go away after that, but it certainly might slow down.
Sure. Fair enough. Fair enough.
Okay, Randy, any final thoughts on that exhibit?
Yes. The status of that Met Tower up there, completely outside of the project boundary, does that need to be in the boundary, or is that, it says temporary, does that mean that it was for studying purposes and it's coming back down, or what?
That's a good question. I'll have to get some clarification for the company on that question, Commissioner. I don't know how temporary in nature it is.
You can't be approving parts of a project that aren't in the boundary.
Right.
Okay, that was my, that's it for me.
And then for Randy and Julie, I don't think it's worth time for me today, but there are some questions that I'll bring up once we get the right map, that some of these turbines, like 59, 54, 53, 52, I might be asking about removing some of the project area based on some public testimony. So I don't want to put out there to the company or anybody that, subject to the land question, that I'm okay with all these turbine locations. So that'd be my closing thoughts on that one. Which one's next, Zach? 30?
Let me see. We are on, yes, 30, Exhibit 30, which is docket number 74, and this had to do with the request of the company in the certification document. They had, they signed the certification. That's been filed, and that's filed as a lay file exhibit, but the company did request basically an exception to allow for construction potentially during periods of time when the frost had occurred, and removal of topsoil. So this is what they have submitted as to what they would propose to ensure topsoil will be segregated appropriately in freezing conditions.
I don't have a lot of thoughts, I guess, in this one. I'm open to, I know, Julie, you've talked a lot about the remediation. I'm just, yours and Randy's thoughts, I guess I can go either way on this one.
I thought, I think I requested this one, and the last couple of lines where it talks about thawing the soil, in locations where topsoil must be segregated. That kind of gets to the crux of it. But Julie, how does this compare to what we're requiring from pipelines with their winter construction procedures?
Commissioner, that's something I would look at. It seems awful thin.
But well, that's what my initial thought was, too.
I could review exactly what we required of the others, but it...
Well, you know, it's not a direct correlation either, because no. They're not going to be farming over these areas where they're building the turbines. So where they're putting the foundations in, it's not like they're going to be covering that up and farming over it right away. So I can probably be convinced that we don't need quite as much specifics as we would in a pipeline that's going to be buried, and then the land is going to be hopefully returned to its previous state. So thoughts on that, you or Randy or Brian, any of you?
You know, in a perfect world, I guess we maybe should be thinking out to that decades down the road and assuming this should be farmed again someday too. But they're also kind of smaller tracts interspersed here and there. This didn't alarm me too badly.
Okay.
I wish it were better, but it's not the biggest problems I see here.
Mm-hmm. Well, Julie, maybe you and I can visit about that, and maybe we can look and see if there's any way we might be able to beef that up a little bit or propose some language for the to add to the certification document that they signed that they might be able to agree to.
Sure.
All right, that's it for me on that one, Brian.
Okay. I don't have any other thoughts. Randy, any last thoughts on that one? Okay. 31.
And Commissioner, 31 is the what we call exhibit dealing with the economic benefits.
Zach needs to use a mic.
I had turned it off. I'm sorry. 31 is the exhibit dealing with the economic benefit. It's docket entry 68. It appears that you know, the calculation is stated, and that's what they're stating the economic benefit to the community is in this instance.
Okay, I didn't have any questions on it, Randy or Julie.
I don't.
None.
I kind of, you know, did my own math, and that's about what I come up with too, and looking at the law, so I understand how they're arriving at that. I think the relevance of it kind of comes more in summary at the end, so I have nothing more at this point on this.
Julie, any thoughts?
No, not on that one.
Okay, perfect. All righty.
I will just say this, because while we have it out, because like I say, I am going to probably reference it at the end. So the electricity generated produces a little over 40% of the revenues here. A little less than 60% is based on the capacity. So if this thing were built and just sitting there, they didn't have a customer, say, or there wasn't enough demand for it, the county's revenues would be just a little over half of what they're anticipating.
All right, Zach, the next one.
Next one is Exhibit 32, which is docket entry 75. It has to do with the reduction of the project area on the prime farmland percentage.
And that's one of the criteria. So that's what this is, goes back to the question about the 25,000 acres. Well, does that include the stuff that's pending or might be pending? I mean, those are the kind of questions I guess are just related. I'm fine with this exhibit as long as I know what that 25,000 acres is properly represented in the previous exhibit.
I believe that it is, Commissioner, but I will confirm that.
Well, it is including
the... It is included the reduced, because it states the reduced project area, so I take that to mean that
the entire
based upon the project area as shown in Exhibit 29,
okay,
which is the map there that you're looking at.
So it does include the stuff that's not under parcel signature now.
I think it includes the project area, which is the blue line border on that Exhibit 29. Is what I understand.
Okay.
But I will check on that, Commissioner.
Okay, but that's where I'm not communicating.
Okay.
But, you know, we talked previously about, you know, the red blocks inside the project area and the stuff not under easements.
Right, I'm guessing I see what you're saying. Yes.
I'm saying that $25,000 probably includes the stuff that's not there. So
I would agree with that, and I will check on that as well to see exactly what it is this 25,000 acres represents.
Other than that, I don't have any questions with this exhibit. Randy?
Well, by eliminating, I don't know, probably close to 10,000 acres here, it certainly brings these numbers much closer to what the end result will be based on the end determinations with these unacquired leases and such as that. But yeah, we should get the final numbers. But certainly now this would look like it's probably going to be pretty close to the end result.
Okay. Julie, any thoughts?
No, I don't have any thoughts on that one.
Okay. So that just clarify, and then that one should be good to go.
Okay. Exhibit 33 has been provided. It's docket entry 76, and this details the nearest turbine to a non-participating parcel. It indicates that the nearest proposed turbine to non-participating parcel is turbine 37. The company is working with this landowner, they say, and I've communicated with the company on this, and they're seeking to get a waiver from this particular landowner. I don't believe that that has happened at present. They also indicate in this exhibit that if they are unable to obtain a waiver, then they would either move this particular turbine so that it's located within the requirements, 1.1 times the tip of the height from the of the turbine from the property line, or they would replace that turbine with an alternate turbine.
So that makes sense what the product is, but then it goes back to this reoccurring question about if these areas that are not currently included under easement, there's a lot of turbines that might come into play. Did they research that? Because if some of those are looks like they're sitting, you know, 71, 70 up north, 83. I mean, I don't know, 54 coming down, all those 60s. So if those people aren't included, then they've got other issues with property line setbacks, I would say.
I would agree with you, and that's something I can talk to the company about and see what they're thinking on that, and we can talk about that at the next work session.
Well, this kind of comes back to my question I first started out with. At what point do you get so many changes that we need to go back out there and say, okay, things have changed so much since the first hearing, we want a new one? The public needs a new one.
Well, I think if we're talking about Commissioner removing potential turbines, because, I mean, the company did provide how many alternate turbines? I don't have the exact number in here, at 12, I think, or something like that. So if there are issues with particular turbines, I think that there are alternatives. And there are potentially alternatives as well as to potentially moving them. We've seen that in Brady Wind. The company did move a lot of turbines, the ones that they were able to get a longer setback. So I don't necessarily agree with you, Commissioner, that we would, you know, I know you're not saying that we have another hearing, you're asking the question. I think that...
As long as we're going minus, we're not adding, you feel comfortable.
That's part of it, yes, I agree with that. But I think also, too, we're talking about the project area. And I think if we're talking about the project area, that's been noticed. Those representative landowners who have a stake in the potential, you know, installation of a wind farm on their properties have had notice to appear at a hearing in their community to discuss and ask questions. I think if we're talking about adding, I agree with you, then that would be more of a problem. Here we're talking about potentially deleting, and that's dependent, I think, on what the company responds with these different areas that they're working on easements for.
Okay. I don't have any other questions on that one. Randy?
Maybe it's not so critical. I just thought that when I looked at my notes from the hearing, I thought that this Exhibit 33 was going to be a chart like this that we had on the distance from turbines to residences and and shadow flicker and such, with a list of all the turbines and the distance to non-participating property lines.
Okay.
That's what I thought this was going to be.
And maybe it was a misunderstanding. Would you like that to? Because I know that the company did provide some pretty good charts, really, as to the distance. Why don't you let myself and Julie Prescott look at those charts and see if
that's something their system can kind of just provide.
Sure.
I'd appreciate it. It's not a showstopper for me.
Okay.
Julie, do you have any thoughts on Exhibit 33?
No, I don't.
Okay.
34, Commissioner, is the certification.
I didn't have any questions with that. Randy?
I do not.
Julie, 34?
That's where I think we should be capturing the winter construction, either there in the order. I don't know, maybe we put it in the order directly. But however, since the certification document basically says that they cannot do construction after freezing, we should fix that in the certification, it seems like to me. But maybe there's another way to do that, Zach.
Yeah, that's a good point, Commissioner. And I think the way that we went about it with this and have in the past, Commissioner, is our preference is to have the company sign the certification, so then at the hearing we're not having to ask quite a few more questions. If they sign the certification, and at the hearing, the company did indicate that they would be signing the certification, but asked for a special dispensation, so to speak, on, and I forgive me, I don't have the number right here in front of me as to the one that they asked for winter construction on, but it is in here. And so the way we went about it was, I think it's number 15, it looks like. What we would do, Commissioner, is address it in the order. And we can either allow or if the commission decides not to allow that aspect. But I believe the company has preserved this issue and has made the request for this type of construction process during winter freezing months to do that. So I think we're okay, Commissioner. We just need a decision by the commission needs to be made, and that decision can be placed in the order.
Okay. I'm fine with that.
Okay. 35, Zach, that the next one?
It is.
We already kind of hit on that a little bit. I agree with
35,
everything.
35, yeah, and 35 is actually the last late filed exhibit, and you're right, Commissioner Fedorchak did hit on that. It has to do with the lighting and what the company is proposing to do, which is
basically
not very
nothing.
Specific.
I read that as essentially doing nothing. There's not a commitment in there at all. Commercially reasonable efforts to install technology as soon as practicable after commercial operation, that's not enough of a commitment. So I guess I would look at mirroring what we've requested in the other three projects, like Randy pointed out, and including that in the order if my colleagues would be in favor of something similar, obviously probably not the same exact time frame, but a similar amount of time to adapt to the new system, pending FAA approval.
Well, I think with the FAA approval part that you added at the end, that is the only exception they would really need, because If my memory is correct, those others, the deadline is well before this one's ever going to get started. So to me, it should just pretty much be a requirement from the get-go.
Yeah, I'm with you
guys. Well, I guess unless they put unless they construct turbines way before they're actually going to finish the project and they just need to be lit, I guess, if it's before that deadline. But I just think we keep it consistent with what we've been doing. I think that's a great policy.
And I think we can work on some language, because this is a little bit different from the other projects where that language is contained, because I think that there's a more concrete time frame. In fact, having driven out to Dickinson recently and seeing the number of turbines going down the stretch of I-94 to presumably to the Brady Wind area, or I suppose Oliver, they are actively in construction there. So I think what I'm saying is we may need to tailor anything in the order specific as is the situation in the circumstances here, because I think the company here is proposing not to actually construct turbines and place them in operation, you know, until, is it 2018 or 2019? I can't remember off the top of my head, but it's some time. But we can work on some language, Commissioner Fotorjak, with you, and we will, Julie and I will go ahead and do that.
Sounds great. Thank you.
We have a few more minutes till 2:30, so I have a few more questions if it's all right. Just the general question, Zach. You know, after the hearing, they made such a big deal about getting as quick a decision from the commission they could. Do you have any idea why it took them so long to get these exhibits in? I mean, it was ridiculous. If they're in a hurry, why they take so long?
I don't have any information on that, Commissioner.
Okay.
You know, I did have discussions with counsel for the company, and they knew they were at the hearing, obviously, so they knew the need.
Well, I understand the map back and forth, but the rest of these, it seemed like there wasn't, you know, paragraph. But that's just more for the audience listening. The on the positive side, though, you know, the rest of the stuff that I had for the hearing, the question I had about, you know, MISO and SPP and where they might be going with their power, I think their expert came in and answered all those questions. I don't have any other questions about Shadow Flicker, the avian use, or the Eagle. I mean, the rest of my questions in those areas have really been answered. I have a couple about turbines, but I just wanted to see if Randy or Julie wants to talk, before I get off my tangent about turbines, about any of these other things that came up during the hearing where oftentimes we will have some deliberation on.
I have a couple. Did we resolve it now? Mr. Jackson talked about the one participant that's over 30 hours of Shadow Flicker and that they would need a release from that resident, or they'd have to move turbine 76.
I don't think that's been resolved, but I will follow up. I do not believe that it has been.
Okay, so if you'd follow up on that, and then later on in the day, Mr. Derby, the chief services officer at Western Ecoservices Technology, said they're developing a bird and bat study on the project. So do we need the bird and bat study before we make a decision? Or
you may recall, Commissioner, that as we were determining whether or not the application was complete in the first place on this, the company is still actively doing that. It is something that the company will provide. The studies so far have been indicating that there are no issues with endangered, threatened, protected species on this area, but it is something that they are working on. I believe the testimony was, if I'm remembering correctly, is that if there were to be, say, an eagle that was discovered, then they would obviously have to work with Fish and Wildlife Service to have a buffer around that nest or potentially move turbines. So I don't believe it is something that we need to have in advance. It is something, though, that should be in the order, as it being a requirement to have received that once it is completed.
I kind of view those as a living document with what we've picked up over the years, that as long as they agree and they file us with us what they're at, if something happens, they have to go back and modify it and tweak it. It's part of their process. But
if it's something we don't need, then
Well, I mean, we can. It's kind of whatever. I mean, I used to be more of a stickler on some of that stuff, but in discussions with the service and even the Game and Fish and separate hearings, it seems like there never will be a quote-unquote final in any of these things because they the document they develop Plan A, and if something happens, they modify it to B, C, D. As long as they agree to keep working with those agencies, I think that's probably about the way to work it.
Just, you know, I always thought that we had to have the study done, and then if there were issues, they could work to resolve them. But if we get to the point where we're approving these before the studies are even done, of course, then once something is constructed, then, you know, the best that you can hope for is to tinker around on the edges, but no, it's already done. So
it may be some consolation to you, Commissioner, but this project is not going to be completed before the bird bat study is completed. That, I understand, is going to be completed in early 2017. They're going to be building foundations. Yeah. I mean, if worse came to worse, I suppose we can, and there was an issue with it, they're taking that risk on those 16 or so that are being put in for a foundation. So we will ultimately have the study completed before this project would really begin in full construction, even, that is.
I think I misunderstood your point, though, Randy. I thought that the initial study was completed in this one, and it's just where...
I think it is completed, but I think that they're doing...
And that was kind of, I think if I recall from one of our previous discussions, it was kind of like, where do you draw the line on studies? And we talked about when we deemed the application complete that they had one study done, and they were continuing to study.
They are continuing,
so yes. It's what point do you stop studying something and make a determination?
They provided the spring and fall studies, which they had completed, but they are going to be completing the next phase, I guess, for lack of a better word, of that.
You know, maybe Julie Prescott, could you throw that on a discussion agenda sometime? Not about just about what amount of studies we really require for projects, and just, and I don't mean like the next one. We'll talk offline and see. Anything else, Roger?
No, I don't.
Julie, I'm sure we'll have more work sessions, but do you have anything else today that you wanted to hit on particularly?
I don't have anything more. Thank you.
Okay. I don't know that it... I guess the only thing I would throw out there is for me, the last thought today is, for me anyway, is, Zach, that during the hearing, Turbine 54 and 59 came out with some concern by Mr. Schroeder, I believe it was, and that kind of just spurred my interest about, you know, that collector line, that east central part of the project area, that collector line crosses. It's just weird. It looks like non-participating all except where that's at. In the company, I didn't get their answer, or they never really answered that question, but I have concerns about the locations of 54 and 59 as relates to Mr. Schroeder's house. Maybe those are something that they could consider finding another spot for, and then get some more information about the collector line. I'm not saying I'm completely against those,
right?
But they're just, since he came to the hearing, he's got a different status of rights, and mm-hmm. I don't know if we ever got good distances from those to his house. So maybe we could ask for those.
Okay.
And then along the same line, this one, the next individual, Mr. Leroy Trebold, I think that's right. He was concerned about turbines 1 and 2 in the way southern end. Those I'm just highlighting just because he did come and testify. Those, I guess, I'm less sympathetic to his concern just because there's appears to be quite a bit of distance in there. But maybe we could just verify that that's, it seems like it's a long ways away. It was over a half mile, I think. Mm-hmm. But just so we have those.
I'll check on that.
I don't have anything else for today. Randy?
The only thing I'll say, beyond the details that we've discussed here and that we need to make a final decision, is I'm just going to throw this out, that beyond these details, I still have grave concerns for how we would justify approving something and calling it orderly development when clearly the point here is to do just enough initial groundwork in 2016 to tie up a natural resource of this area and the wind that's there, and gobble up some federal energy support, and then do absolutely nothing next year. I don't know if it's even that much in 18, but with a goal of several years out, I can't imagine, say, a pipeline coming in here and saying, gosh, here's a nice place to build a pipeline or something, so we just want an easement because there's a good river crossing potential, and then we'll let you know if we ever decide to do something or just what kind of pipeline we're going to put in. Just give us the easement, and then no one else can use it. I really have concerns for how something that doesn't yet have their county approval, doesn't have a buyer for the power, doesn't have the inter-exchange agreements done, and doesn't even have all their easements in place, to call that orderly development, I struggle with.
All right. Thank you, Rancher. Julie Fedorchuk, any closing thoughts?
No closing thoughts. Thanks, everybody.
Zach, JP, I forgot to ask you guys first. No? Okay.
No, we'll get back to you. I would note, too, that we did receive a proposed findings of fact, an order from the company. Ms. Prescott and I haven't had a chance to review that yet, but we will be doing so.
And as soon as the company gets in their late filed, we'll schedule a work session. And other than that, I will close the work session on case number PU16539. Thank you.